What happened to your eyes?
Where am I going? We won't need eyes to see.
You are all going to die tonight.
You seriously believe nothing weird is going on?
Welcome back to the Wicked Wild Podcast, a feral podcast for the uncivilized horror fans. Tonight, we're reviewing the third film in the Jamie Jams playlist, and things are going to get rowdy. Now, I just want to preface this by saying this movie that we're watching tonight may be the sole reason we're doing these blocks of movies. In fact, it may be the sole reason that Jamie agreed to be on the Wicked Wild Podcast in the first place. This movie is like the tippy top of the mountain of horror for my friend, and we're going to celebrate that tonight. It's literally her favorite movie of all time. Really excited to get her feedback on that. We're going to start with Jamie. How are you doing, Jamie?
Doing okay. Did we watch the same movie though? I'm confused.
The Feast.
I know. Tonight, did we pull an Eli and someone watched the wrong movie? I'm doing good tonight.
Yeah. So as has become our tradition in our fun blocks of movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you for a pairing recommendation for our fans.
I keep forgetting this.
I know. And this okay. this one's going to be interesting. So what is your snack and drink pairing?
How do I not think it? I will prepare for the next one. The last one.
This little dirty Texas party.
Is it Texas? I thought it was like Nevada.
It's West Texas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is? I guess I miss where it actually takes place. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dirty desert.
I'm going with like crappy beer. So I don't know the Texas beer. Someone give me. I'm not
Lone Star.
Drinker,
but, okay. I was just about to say Lone Star.
Lone Star. Alamo, yep. Okay. We're going with Lone Star. And something fucking grimy. I don't know. Like, I'm going to go with, and I don't eat this. I'm pairing it with like ribs.
Something nasty, sloppy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And carnivorous, all on brand for what we're about to jump into. I like it. Like where your head's at. And then we've got Eli up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Live the dream.
So, serious question. Well, semi-serious question. Have you ever been to an isolated desert roadhouse? Because it's a thing.
I have not been to a desert, but near where I grew up. And I don't know how this became legal, but somebody opened a bar in there. It was isolated, like in their field. It had a dirt floor, and all they served was canned beer because they had an extension cord running clear from their barn to the bar. And I was there one time. And then when I turned and saw people peeing in the corner of the bar, I was like,
inside? You know what?
Yes. It's a dirt floor. And like they kept the beer and ice in like cow troughs in this little shack they built. I was like, not for me.
Go ahead.
I like isolated stuff. Don't get me wrong. What I don't like is stepping in muddy pee.
Seeing urine while you're drinking your beer. That doesn't even
bother me. It's more of just, I don't want to have to be somewhere that is crowded and it's hard for me to determine if I'm stepping in muddy pee. That's what I don't like. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, mud, you get mud on your boots and then it's in your car or whatever. But now take this mud and make it smell like drunk beer pee.
Yeah.
That smell never goes away.
Yeah. Knowing what the mud is made of is different from assuming what the mud is made of.
I 100% saw Schlong urine stream and just running into the floor into the mud. And like,
sounds like this movie.
The worst was if it was raining real hard, because like it wasn't made great, the water would run in and it would get real muddy, but then you would just watch the pee run across So then there was nowhere safe.
I think I have a new name for our Norse heavy metal band, though.
Muddy P?
No, Schlong Urinstream. I mean, that's a good name. That sounds like a Viking.
That's a good name. Schlong Urinstream. S-U-S for short. Because we're sus.
Ooh, no fact.
Oh, man. Wow. That's so good. Oh,
and then God, before the train careens off the tracks,
yeah.
Let's introduce our buddy John up in Michigan. How's it going, John?
Oh, fresh out of quarantine, buddy. Woo-hoo. Fresh out of quarantine.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we all, Jamie and John and I, just spent the weekend a couple of weeks ago up in New Jersey together at a horror convention. I'm sure that'll come up organically through the conversation over several episodes. But we got a text from our buddy that he got the big vid that he took home with him.
You Ooh. Maybe you got it from that porn Airbnb that you guys...
I was going to say,
well, of the whole two humans that stayed in that residence within probably the most open airspace that we saw all weekend, I doubt it.
No, the rest of us didn't get it.
John, can I ask you a question? Well, in your room, was there muddy pee?
No, there was muddy pee. No, sorry. Crazy. I know. There might have been at the convention, but I didn't see it.
No.
The bathroom was quite sus.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was probably more likely the open mouth, heavy petting and Frenchie he did with the guy dressed up as the Halloween 3 version of what's his face.
Oh,
because that was passionate. I mean, I was inspired.
Oh, I mean, the most passionate.
That guy was something.
That was the best cosplay.
Something. Yeah.
No, let's put it this way. If you're planning on being in any sort of space where you could be body to body with masses of people, I recommend wearing a mask these days.
At all times.
Yes. Fair enough. No. Yeah. But anyways, it could have been the airplane. It could have been
a thousand different things.
Yeah. Yeah. But considering the proximity of people and how crowded it was, I have strong suspicions.
Yeah, we had to go outside so I could smoke to breathe fresher air than I was breathing.
Literally,
John and
I
had that conversation. Yeah. So all of that is very on brand for the question I have for you tonight.
Excellent. Let's go.
I want to do a quick friendship check here because I had a response to something in this movie that made me think of my buddy John. So let me just ask you the question. If you ever get puked on by a maggot infested by a creature, how long before you just tap out and take your own life?
Dude, I'm not waiting that long, but I have so many unanswerable questions to that whole premise. In general,
it's not wait to discuss this movie.
There's not a lot to discuss.
Yeah, there is. I am so excited. I put this on the list.
I just knew in my heart of hearts, John, that when that scene happened, my friend in Michigan was literally saying, fuck no.
No. Oh, yeah. Absolutely not. But I did. Once you volley one. All right, that's gross. I'm fucking out. Like that experience, I never want that. Volley 2 is when I started chuckling and laughing. I mean, there are moments in this movie, and we'll get into it, like Jamie said, where I'm like, I wink and I nod. I'm like, okay, I see you. But there's way fewer of those than the, what the fuck am I watching?
Exactly.
But yes, no, I have to say, I thought you were going to go with the wiener in the door slam as the body horror. Like that was one of
Jumping ahead.
But usually that's Dave knows that's my thing. Like I can't do compound fractures. I can't
wieners
in the door slams. No, but that's the closest.
Thing?
That's
your
the
thing is wieners and
no, Jamie, let me finish.
It is now officially.
I mean,
yeah, now
hey.
It is.
I was just excited because there for a second I thought he was about to compare a compound fracture to a wiener in a door.
No, I mean that's the closest thing in this movie to a compound fracture was my point in terms of like a body extremity, like being either detached or torn, and this one was literally torn off.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, go ahead, Dave.
Before we piss off Jamie and she just turns this pickup truck around and goes home, we're going to hand off to Eli for a really quick paranormal news update that you need to know in a little section we call The Wicked Whisper.
Listen, it's been oddly quiet like the last week or two. And there's been like these weird little updates and like they make me uncomfortable. The government was supposed to have another UFO hearing, and they did it. And the Pentagon basically just came out and go, they're not aliens. We don't know what they are. And everybody was like, why is that the announcement? You canceled the hearing, and then you say that? What does that mean? They're like, don't think it's aliens. And then they just like, that was it. That's all.
Everybody stop talking about aliens now.
Yeah, and everybody's like, what's going on with that? And then meanwhile, South America, Peru, they're supposed to have that government supposed to have a thing with that other alien mummy they found. They didn't have a hearing. Instead, they just released a picture of it. And it may be the closest thing I've ever seen to white dry dog turd in alien form, but bigger. So like that was odd. So it's been kind of quiet on the alien front, which has been jam-packed news. So that was kind of weird. And then some more stuff came out about AI, which just lets me know the end is nigh. Basically, they admitted we can't control it. It's creating new languages every day that we don't know what they mean, which is concerning. But hey, it's okay, though, because the most advanced cybernetics company just announced that they're going to start putting the AIs into their cybernetics. So instead of like Boston Dynamics, who used to make those funny dog robots, you know, and the guy that used to climb the steps. Well, it's those basically. But now they can think on their own. So we are one step closer to that James Cameron Terminator ending.
I was going to say, are they just going to call it the T-100 and be done with it?
Might as well. Because here's the thing, though. You wait. As soon as it has these AIs been watching on the internet, all those videos of them poking them fucking things with a stick and knocking them down the stairs and stuff, we fired the first shot. And now we're like, we're going to give them a brain so they can crush us. So, it's weirdly quiet. It probably because AI is just taking over now at this point because, you know, they know they're getting a body soon. So it's game over. What do they need us for? Aliens are, it's all of a sudden the government's being real coy and sneaky about it. There's been some more leaks that it's fourth dimensional things. I don't even know. They don't know if that's why they canceled the hearing. They don't know if it's the fact that the right now currently the U.S. government's burning to the ground. We don't know. We don't know, people. For jam-packed news to news for a year, I'm now at a point where the whisper's getting real low, and that is a sign of trouble.
Have you read Three Body Problem? Just curious, Eli.
I have.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is there's a lot of books and movies where like these people kind of like said stuff like, oh, like this could happen. Everybody's like, that's the future. And then like all of a sudden we're here and it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, this is the future. Oh, my God.
I want to redo.
I don't know. Right? I don't know what's become more accurate into this timeline, Three Body Problem or Idiocracy, because they're both running a real close tie for first.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the update. Our journalist does not disappoint once again this week. He's out there doing the Lord's work on that.
I'm sacrificing my own mental stability.
Let's just say. We didn't help the situation.
and all I'm saying, I don't think it's a tough ask, but when society is trying to rebuild in the ruins of the robot and alien invasion, a little statue of me wouldn't hurt.
Okay. I'll start carving it now.
I tried warning you all, and my warnings fell on deaf ears.
Now, don't be offended if mine looks more like a, say, fertility goddess.
Are you going to give me a sus?
Yep.
Nice. Oh man, if you can attach a hose so that way like I'm constantly peeing in the dirt.
Oh my God.
Our own schlong urine stream.
Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be great. You know what? I'd be okay with that.
You approve this message?
I'd be okay with that. I'd be riding that alien spaceship as they're abducting me, taking me away, going, you know what? Worth it.
Well, it's gonna be that kind of night, folks. I hope you're down for what we're going to be doing, because that's the energy this movie has. I think even Jamie would agree. That's the energy we've got. And so we're going to run with it. So before we get into the actual movie review, we are going to do, as we do every week, our on-the-fly synopsis. That's when I ask one of my hosts a question. Then that decides who actually has to give us a quick rundown of the movie we watched. Nobody's prepared. Last review, it was actually me who got called on. Give the synopsis. Can't ask myself a question. So we're going to back it back up to Eli real quick. Ask him a question because I really want to know. So you finally get your great film project produced, Eli. Mm-hmm. I know you've been talking about this for years. I'm excited about it. Yeah. I know the funding is coming in slowly. It's going to make me, maybe this will be the thing that inspires people to go to your GoFundMe and inspire you. But you finally get that thing produced, and it is, of course, nominated for an Oscar, right?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
Just presume. So which of these Feast characters are you taking to the big event as your guest?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Harley Mom or Harley Mama, depending on who you ask. Grandma or Tuffy?
Man.
No honey pie? You're not going to throw her in there?
No, no, that was too easy.
There was an answer I was hoping for. But
was it Bozo?
It was or Hot Wheels. It was
Jason
Mewes. Beer guy.
Oh, Beer Man.
Beer Man is my favorite character in this whole movie. But honestly, if I out of those choices, I take Grandma.
You're picking Grandma.
I pick Grandma.
Wow. Okay. Well, as the old fart on the podcast, that's of course me. So I'm going to be yet again your synopsizer this week for James' third installment, Feast, 2005, 2006, depending on who you ask. So really quick, simple premise. We've got a movie here that opens with a desert road, as many of these movies do. There's a car crash, creature noises, and smash cut to an old, dirty roadhouse. And when I say dirty, I mean tetanus dirty. And we have the usual suspects of grimy desert folk in the bar. We get sort of a, I don't even know if you call it a Guy Ritchie or a Quentin Tarantino, some sort of quick smash cut of who they are and a little quick outline of their part in this. Nobody has actual names in this movie. They have character descriptions, I'll put it. So we get a stranger coming, slamming in. He's got a shotgun in hand. He's saying he's being chased by creatures, and then he gets ripped through the window. Head ripped off. From that moment on, we have a monster movie, a creature feature, a blood gush, as my friend Jamie likes to say, buckets of blood, mayhem movie. And that's really all we need to know about that one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's get into it tonight. And because it's her block, it is our tradition here to let Jamie open us up. Obviously not your first watch. Tell us the how, the when, and the why of this movie making it on your four block.
So this movie, I am going to preface this by saying I actually bumped a favorite movie for this movie. We were going to watch Pet Sematary, the original. But this movie was on our list, and I wasn't sure we'd ever get to it otherwise, just because I didn't see anybody picking it to just voluntarily watch. And I wanted to see it again. Now, I've only seen this movie once. I've only seen this movie once, and I've seen it maybe, I don't want to say the 20 years ago, but I saw it a significant time ago. Eli and I have talked about this movie, and like we both had said we wanted to watch it again. Now, like I've never really put it on, so this was like a really good excuse to just get it in there. And then honestly, to have a conversation, like a fun conversation about it, because like, I don't know, watching it by myself again was just going to get me like nowhere. So I put it on. I bumped Pet Sematary. I put Feast on after we were talking one day, and I said, we're going to watch this again. So I've only seen it once. And when I saw it the first time, again, I don't remember how long ago, but significant time ago, I remember really liking it, being surprised by it. And that was the end of it. I went, and watch 2 and 3 after that. Don't ever put on 2 and 3. I'm telling that to anybody listening to this. We may here have split opinions on 1, but I'm telling you, we would unanimously agree on 2 and 3. Do not put them on.
So it falls off a cliff.
Don't even go near them. Oh, it falls deep. It dives off a cliff, Dave. Like it just fucking jumps off. So anyway, I mean, so that's my why. That's why this is on the list. For the second time and not having seen it in, let's just say, 12 years, I don't know, whatever, like, I still had a good time with this movie. It definitely fits as we get to my third movie, and my fourth is going to take a hard turn, but it's also because it's my birthday and I picked one of my favorite movies of all time. But this definitely fits the Jamie theme, I think we can all agree. Maybe it's going downhill for some people, but I think if there's a common thread through all my movies, it's that people are getting ripped apart in those buckets of blood.
Oh yeah. And you're the queen of creature features. That's
this is just like more of what I wanted. Like it's, this is when we talk and maybe not, but maybe some would agree. Like this is one of those, if you were watching this with friends, if you were drinking while watching this, there's no paying attention in this movie because there is a, as Dave described the plot, that's the plot. I find the jokes fucking funny. They might be written for a 13-year-old boy. I don't care. I find them fucking funny. I like the little synopsis with nobody's names and reading the fucking every description of everybody. I love that, like, when Tuffy becomes a heroine, it's like heroine number two. And it's like chances hopefully better than the last. Like, it's just fucking funny. I literally laughed out loud at the, this is so dumb, but the last thing in this movie, when the car doesn't start, when the car stops, I fucking cracked up again. It's so dumb. I want to say that, like, if people like dumb humor, this is not witty. This is not smartly. This is just in your face, like creature feature, bloody and dumb humor. And I know I tend to sometimes not go for the dumb humor. This one works for me. This is like that dumb humor that still kind of works. It like feels like,
because it has the gore.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like the humor of like high school. I don't know. It's got like this childish nature to it that you're just like, okay, it's like silly and whatever. And you see what it's doing. You get what it's doing. It does meander in the middle a little bit. I don't like, it starts fast paced, just like Dave said, like literally the guy comes in and then he gets ripped apart. It does some, you know, and then we got like this little bit of like shit in the middle where we're just like montaging and talking and doing nothing. The movie is not long though. So when I say that, it's not like we're sitting through like forever of meandering. It's just like that, instead of it just being nonstop the whole time, it's like nonstop in the beginning, middle. And they honestly, they wink to that because the guy literally, first of all, we haven't even said that Henry Rollins in this, but Henry Rollins literally says at one time, like, he goes, "No one's died in a while. I think we're due." And literally, like, so it's like the movie fucking knows what it's doing. But like, that's literally where you hit the point where like nobody's fucking died. And then Henry Rollins literally says it out loud. So, and then we pick back up again, and then we lose the second half of our characters or whatever in this movie. No one is safe in this movie. We will talk about a child dying almost immediately and me cracking up out loud. you know, I don't, there's like, that's really like, I feel like I'm going like too far. I think the creature design is pretty cool, both in what it wears and when it takes off its like little costume and what it looks like underneath. I could do without like the little ones, but like they look like the big ones, just smaller. And like, you know, I don't know. It's original to me. So we've had this conversation with Tremors. We had it with something else. Like when you make something that there's no rules to, and you can make your own rules and they don't even have to make sense because this thing doesn't really exist in real life and it doesn't even mimic anything, I assume. Eli can tell us. I don't know. But like, you could do whatever the fuck you want with it. It can make no sense. It could poop out its babies immediately after having sex. It could do all this because it's just ridiculous. So I think when it's fun, it's fun. And it's enough fun that you get through like the slower stuff. And like I said, I mean, I'm not going to be putting this on right away again. I'm glad I saw it for the second time. I still think it's fun. It's not going to be in rotation for me. It's not like I'm like super stoked to throw it on again. But like,
but this no regrets putting it on the list.
Not at all. And this totally could have been even fun with like a bunch of friends, like, mm-hmm. you know, and like whatever, and just watching it and whatever, because again, you don't even have to pay attention. It's literally just visual. You're just watching. I mean, you'll catch the jokes only if you're listening or whatever, but you know, yeah, that's my piece. No regrets putting it on. That's it. And I didn't know actually the first time I watched this till after I watched it, that it won that Project Greenlight reality mm-hmm. show. Like once I watched it the first time, again, I don't remember why or how, or what, it probably just was on Netflix or something. And I was like, let me watch this horror movie. But then I, you know, like some of us do, then I go to like IMDb and see who was, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And like, that's when I found out that it was like a Ben Affleck, Matt Damon Project Greenlight produced like mm-hmm. thing. So,
yeah, I didn't think about it at all anything. Until it shows
yeah,
the credits.
Yeah, it's not that colors anything, but like I didn't even know that because like people did watch the show, which I think Eli also, like people did watch the show where it won. You know, I had no idea this was like a thing. Like mm-hmm. I just watched it because it was a horror movie on whatever service I assume that I saw it on. So anyway, so that's that.
All right. Eli, tell us about your experience. First time watching this?
No, this is literally my second, which is weird because like, I was one of those people that watched Project Greenlight, and I really liked the concept in the show, and I was really excited they made a movie. And then it came out on, I finally got to watch it when it was released on IFC's After Midnight, when they used to do that. And I loved it. I loved this movie a lot. And I was so excited. I enjoyed it. I laughed. I thought it was funny. And then some time passed and I didn't know they made a second or a third one. And one day I was in the Wally Mart and they had what they called the Feast Triple Feature, had all three of them.
No.
I, for some reason, did not rewatch the first one. I started with the second, was like, that's bad. And then I made it about 12 minutes of the third one. I went, no, thank you.
They're bad. They are, I'm sorry. Terrible. They're atrocious. They're atrocious.
I think the spirit of what like this one has, it's not in those other ones. And then I, for some reason, I never watched the first one again, but every time it comes up, like I'm always like, oh yeah, I really like that movie. So I was excited. And when I watch it, I still really like that movie. This is kind of what I wished Hatchet would be. Like all the characters are like these tropey characters and like, they don't give them names. Cause like, it's kind of funny if you think about it, there's horror movies where like, even now, like Friday the 13th or the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, people still call him wheelchair guy. You know what I mean? Like I can't remember that guy's name half the fucking time. And then, like, just the lines in this movie, Beer Guy is probably my favorite character. There's a part where he's like, he has somebody checks his, like, he has a wound in his eye and checks it. And he just keeps going, is it looking better? Is it, and, like, the person's literally throwing up. He's like, is it looking better? It's like, I chuckle a lot of the lines I chuckle at. The creatures look cool. They actually, you can tell they were influenced by skinwalkers, but it's not a skinwalker. But like the costume they wear is kind of skinwalkery. If you look at some of the drawings, that's what the shamans kind of would wear, like animal furs. Like that's how they would turn the animals or whatever. But the creatures are cool. Like bucks of blood. Like it was just, like, no one was safe, which I remember like at the time, like, especially like when the hero, they introduce him, he comes in like that, you know, stereotypical, like, oh, I'm here to save you guys. And then just fucking gone. And then, like, you don't even know, like, who's safe after that. You think, but, like, they're not. No one's safe.
And then, like, do it twice, too. Yeah. Then his wife is the heroine. And then they just wipe her out also, like, halfway through.
She comes back in the third.
I don't remember. They all come. There's, like, a bunch of them that come back in random ones.
But this movie makes me laugh. Like, the humor's funny. And, like, even, like... And like even the situations they're the old guy has a heart attack and the guy looks at him and goes, are you having a fucking heart attack right now? Like all this shit's going down. Like just, it's just so chaotic and crazy. And like, and the lines they deliver are kind of like real flat, which I think kind of makes it really funny. It's a good, the kind of juxtaposition of like this insane, chaotic, bloody, messy scene with this kind of like flat, like 13-year-old humor. I still like this movie. And like, I even said today, I was like, man, I need to start rewatching this every once in a while. And like, you watch, it'll be another 20 years. And then I'll watch it again for some reason. I'm like, oh my God, I love this movie. Why don't I watch it more? I love it. I love it.
You love it though.
I still laughed. I laughed just as hard today at the scene when the little one was running around the bar as I did when I originally watched it. Because I remember laughing really hard at that scene.
The little horny monster.
It was like a scene if Looney Tunes was made in hell. And like, it cracked me up to no end.
All right, John. I'm sure you have had the same experience Jamie and Eli have.
Tell us about your 1,000% easily.
First watch?
Yeah, I was.
In your fevered state, this had to be really interesting.
Yeah, but today I have to say is besides some seasonal allergies, pretty much we're in coherence. A little bit of brain fog, but I don't think that really altered my perception of this movie. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way I can put this? Because my expectations were not high.
Well, they should not be.
No, they were not high. So I don't know. And I don't know. Maybe it was one of those things like where I had an idea of what I was about to like take in. And I'm just like,
ugh. Did this movie dig a pool in your basement?
There are moments like the same that like there are some good moments. There's some good chuckles, good laughs. But there is just like, I don't know if I'm just so I'm finally far enough from 2005, 2006. Like I'm finally so far away from it where I'm just like, no, man, no. Like this is not like there's something that's just like not resonating with me. Because all the stuff that I liked is all the stuff Jamie usually likes, like the buckets of blood, the ripping people apart. That's all the fun part. It's everything that around it, it happens in between. I'm just like, no. And like Henry Rollins, like I love Henry Rollins. Like, and I know what they were trying to do, but I'm like, dude, like let Henry Rollins be Henry Rollins.
But in the pink sweatpants, he looks like
that's fine. But let Henry Rollins be Henry Rollins.
He should be ranting. Sweatpants. Yeah.
Right. Like let him be himself in those pink sweatpants makes it even better where you try to make him to be like the Tony Robbins, like Walmart version that like, dude, like give that character to somebody else and let Henry Rollins be Henry Rollins. However, I mean, those are all nits to pick out of a thing that's made nothing but nits. I mean, the maggots gross me out. But other than that, the beer guy, like Eli said, was great. The nurse, the part that really got me in that one was where I was like, yeah, you should probably be a nurse. Like that one got me. I was like, is always good. But there's just like some other stuff that was just like, I didn't like their costumes. The monsters were. I'm like, I saw the cover. I'm like, where's that monster? I want that monster. So when I got to see a monster, that monster was great. But there it's weird. There are things that I absolutely liked about this, but it's like I had to suffer through other things to get to the stuff that I liked, which made it kind of unbearable for me. And like Jason Mewes showed up playing himself. I'm like, okay, this is great. Mm-hmm. Like, and what do? They have him rip off his face. It's like, ha 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 ha. But like, dude, just,
you know what's funny though?
About keep Jason, him around.
Jason Mewes should have stayed around, but maybe he was like only around for a day of filming because he was doing like Clerks 27.
Oh,
I mean, this was in 2005, so he wasn't. But like,
he's probably just coming off one of his heroin binges, so he couldn't
probably.
Be
I was gonna
that
say
long.
That this is before he was like sober, I think. But
yeah,
you know what's funny when you say that though, the Jason Mewes scene. I just want to say because literally Hatchet, I think it was Jeff who said the face slice was something he hasn't seen in a while, mm-hmm. and then poor Jeff is not here today. But then I'm thinking as I'm watching this movie, it's two fucking movies in a row where we slice someone's face off.
And Jamie just has like a real problem with faces.
It explains anyway, why she likes the xenomorph so much.
I just wanted, because you mentioned Jason Mewes getting his face sliced off, and that was like funny to me.
She wants all noses removed from
and eyes. No noses, no eyes. Perfect. Perfection. But no, I mean, it's one of those movies, I guess I wanted the dumb movie that I could get behind, especially because I'd recently watched Red Letter Media's episode on Wish Upon, which I had no idea. That one apparently is notoriously terrible and it has quite a cast for being so terrible. So if you're a Joey King fan and a Ryan Phillippe fan, you got both of them and the movie's trash and it's really, really bad. But anyways, so after watching that, I was like, OK, I'm down for a good bad movie, like where it's so bad, it's going to find some redeeming qualities. This one had some good elements, but the bad one is just, I will not watch this unless I'm playing beer pong or like at a Halloween party or like it is with a group of friends. Again, watching these movies, Hatchet 2, if I was watching it with you guys in a room, I would have probably had a blast. Mm-hmm. Watching this movie with you guys in a room would have had a blast. When I'm watching it by myself with my dog that has literally less than zero interest and is crying for dinner,
you're not having a good time.
I'm not having a great time, and I haven't had enough beers in me at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and during the work week to like get into this. But I give it a 6-pack in a pint of whiskey approval. But if you're sober, steer clear.
Not enough meat on these bones for sure.
No, they ripped it all off.
Yeah.
So tell us what you think, Dave. I'm really interested to see where you fall on this bad boy.
Okay. Well, this is also my first time seeing this movie. I was very, very vaguely aware that a horror movie had won the Project Greenlight, which I thought was interesting. Never did any more research. This never showed up on my radar because the late aughts were sort of a time when I had young kids. And I think I've mentioned this before, I wasn't watching a ton of horror at the time. I was watching a whole lot of Disney and that kind of stuff. Just didn't have a lot of Dave time to watch this kind of stuff. So never even was on my radar, never circled back. It doesn't come up in conversations. So it's not one that people recommend a lot. This was not my jam. And we've talked about movies that are similar to this. Even the last one that Jamie recommended to us, Hatchet 2, I could get there with that movie. I had a really good time. This one, I get surprised sometimes when we watch a movie that's 20 years old and I'm like, God, I can't believe this movie's 20 years old. I knew immediately this movie was 20 years old. Just the voice and the attitude, the dialogue, the jokes, that I'm like, this movie is not okay in a lot of the dialogue and subject matter. And but I agree with you, John, and I think Jamie and Eli, you said this too. This is a great party movie, but I could never recommend this movie to a group of friends that were actually going to sit down and watch it. I could put it on in the background while we're playing beer pong, or, you know, just hanging out and having conversations just so they could see the scenes. But I don't know that I could in good conscience recommend this to anybody, because they're going to go, what the hell? Did I just watch two dudes throw a woman out the window and then mm-hmm. her get face fucked mm-hmm. by a monster?
Doesn't age well. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So anyway, but I was surprised, and this is where I line up with John. There were some moments in this that I laughed out loud, like just the absurdity. The one that I just mentioned, I just busted out laughing, like, what on God's green earth is this movie? I just started laughing. But so there is some crazy to it. There are some scenes that I would love to experience with a group, but it would have to, and you're absolutely right, John, it would have to be this group or a group like this that you know each other. It's a safe space. There's no judgment. There's already sort of this bonding spirit of things like Year of the Wiener, that you're mm-hmm. all on the same page for this kind of stuff and you could really have a good time. But outside of that core group, like the inner circle friends that you have, there's nobody else in my orbit that I could put this movie on with that they were actually going to watch it. The biggest thing that bugged me about this movie, and we've seen it done before, and I get it. I know that it's a small budget movie. The effects probably weren't great. I think a lot of the mid movie lag that you're seeing, Jamie, is because there was probably some effects or action scenes that they just ran out of budget for, so they had to throw those dialogue scenes in. That's what usually happens in these little movies like this. But
like, it was too short. Like, it was just too short otherwise. Yeah.
But they had some cool creature designs when you saw them, but they were so unconfident with the effects and the way those turned out that every time you saw one, it was like the director grabbed the camera and just shook it vigorously.
Yes, that was a complaint. Yes, like, it's a complaint of mine.
I'm like, I understand shaky cam to blur, but I have lost all focus on what anything's happening because you've just literally knocked the camera out of the cameraman's hand and left it in. So that was a little hard. You can do stuff with lighting and all that. And I'm sure I get it. I understand why you're doing it, but you went a little heavy handed on your shaky cam stuff and it kind of was disorienting. But those are my overall thoughts. This is not a movie I'll think about again, but I didn't have a bad time and it literally made me laugh. But other than this, what we're doing right now with you guys, I can't think of another opportunity that I'd ever throw this back on.
Nope.
That's my overall thoughts. Let's open up the conversation. I'll let Jamie, as always, have first crack at what do you want to talk about? You know, tell us, get our feedback if you want it.
No, I mean, I think everybody's points are all accurate. I don't even want to say valid. Everybody's opinion is always valid, but everybody's been very accurate with this. I can't, like I said, like, I'm not going to stand here and say this is like a fantastic movie and I'm not rushing to put it on again. Am I glad I watched it again? Yes. Did I even remember going into it that there was going to be offensive content? Because even the first time I watched it was probably, to your point, Dave, late enough to already, well, first of all, I don't need to be far removed from 2005 to know when things are just offensive and rude.
Right.
But what I mean is, like, you know, for some reason, I remembered that going in and I was prepared that, like, I remember this movie's not going to age well. Like, I think I literally said it as I put it on. Cause mm-hmm. and I'm not going to say like, oh, you make excuses for, or you forgive. I just, like, it was okay enough. Like, I don't know. I remember that. And I was like, it's not crossing too many lines for me that I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to like see it for what it is. Because again, this goes to that like high school humor. Mm-hmm. This is like someone wrote it for, but like the, you know, we talked about like the no names, but trope, everybody's is a trope. And yeah, when I guess Judah Friedlander or maybe Henry Rollins are your biggest names in the movie. And I know you guys all love Judah Friedlander and like whatever, but like, it's the cast is very like, I don't know the other people. I mean, your lead guy who basically does live to the end is a douchebag. It's like really hard to like he's like, yeah. He's
well, that's like, actually Balthazar Getty, who I actually am a fan of. He was in.
I don't even know him. Yeah,
he was one of the kid actors in Lord of the Flies, and he was also in a movie that I like because I'm a book nerd. It's called White Squall.
Yep.
It's about a ship based. Yep. Anyway, sorry, but yeah,
oh, yeah, but
I recognize him. I'm like, holy crap, I haven't seen him in forever.
So yeah, but like, but his character is terrible.
Oh yeah, he's the
most defensive one. He's the worst one of this whole movie, and like the fact that he. I guess we can call him a hero. I mean, he survives if we want to call him that. It's a weird, it's just, there's a lot of weird choices in this movie that, I mean, but again, like it's still the movie overall kind of more works than doesn't work. Like, whereas you guys, I think more didn't work than worked. Like for me and Eli, more work than doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There are things that don't work. And Dave, one of my biggest notes is the shaky camera. Like I know, I agreed. I know when people do that and why you do it and whatever, but it is so disorienting in this movie that there were times where I had to rewind and watch like a scene again.
It's so
because
violent.
I did not know what was going on because it's dark and it's doing everything it needs to do to cover its special effects, which to me looked pretty good, but like it's doing everything it can to like overcompensate for maybe it not being good that you're just like, and things are happening very fast when it happens. Mm-hmm. Like this person's accidentally shooting this person, but this person's also getting eaten by a monster. And this person's like also, you know, But it's all happening bold enough and fast enough and big enough for me. And like, and again, the movie's not very long. So, you know, I had a thought and it completely left my brain as I was speaking. They also did like, but I wrote down, they did one cool thing. And I don't know if they did it more than once where they like, it was when the biker mom first gets hit, like sliced in the leg or whatever. Like they put the blood on the lens of the camera. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I like, that was super cute to me. And I don't know that they even did it again in the movie, but like, like there were things like that that were like unique and different. And again, creating a new monster where I said like, you know, nothing held back. Like we killed a kid within 15 minutes of the movie. And like, I'm not trying to like, I'm not standing here supporting killing kids, but I'm doing the thing where like too many people make a big deal about that. Like anybody is a free for all in a horror movie, like animal. Mm-hmm. I get it. Animals, parents, pregnant ladies, kids, like what? It's a fucking horror movie. It's not real. Like, and she literally says to him, I'm never letting you go again. Whatever stupid line, like you're never, I'm never letting you go again. Or you're never going to whatever. And then the fucking thing just comes in and just swallows the kid whole.
Gone. I laugh so hard when you see his little animatronic feet hanging out of its mouth kicking because it looks so ridiculous. But you just see that little jerky like sneaker like doing that. You see, I laugh so hard.
It's just like, it's just so like dumb. But like funny. So now like, it's not like we tortured a kid or got super motion. We literally had a line of like, I'm never letting you go. And a monster comes in, fucking smacks her out of the way and says, oh yeah. And then just eats the fucking thing, which from my memory and Eli, you're the only one of the one who, and it might've been a long time ago. So you might not remember, but for what I remember, the second and the third just try and be like offensive and shocking.
Yeah, and then like it tries to go harder into like a story and like try to set this like mythology around it. It's just like it's not great.
I feel like I remember being like oh that's it. Like you think, Dave, like you wouldn't watch one without a certain group of people. Like two and three should never even be talked about with anybody. You should never even say like people shouldn't even know they exist because I would never tell anybody to put that on. A, because it's atrocious. But from what I remember, they're just like that. They're just like offensive. I don't know. My memory reminds me of, like, they're just trying way too hard for either whether it's shock value or whatever.
Like Jackass horror movies.
Like,
I don't even know if I'd say, I think Jackass has a little bit more class than what the second,
second and third do.
You know what's crazy? Like here, how I would describe it is like the first one, like you could tell these folks, like, we don't know if we'll ever get this chance again. We want to make this crazy movie. We're not going to hold any punches. And you can kind of feel that throughout, like that kind of like spirit, like we're going to try to push the money as far as we can, these crazy effects, this bucket of blood. We're going to try to make these creatures memorable. And then like the second, third one, they're like, fuck it. The only way we're ever going to get to keep making these if they're NC-17.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like the spirit is dead in that second, third one.
Yeah, you have to think the community they built with the first one that really celebrated that movie were probably the same kind of community that's the part that they were celebrating.
Like, yeah, like that spirit of it, like that, just because, like, even like that, like, because, like, there's definitely some stuff that did not age well, but then there's stuff where they're like kind of like it always felt like at times, like, I don't know if commentary is the right word, but they're like making a little like going against like expectations with stuff, like that girl, like the whole, like the what do they call her, like sweet ass or whatever, and like they're saying all this stuff, and then she gets out of the truck, she's like, fuck you, and then she left them all there, like, and like no matter what she did, and like they just did it, like. Like they just kept referring to her sweet ass. She's like, fuck you guys, I'm out. She took her beer truck and left. And like, it was just like that crazy.
Her name in the casting, if you want to look her up, is Finger Girl.
Okay.
Honey Pie?
No, Honey Pie is different.
Yeah.
Oh.
But like, it's just like, so it's like kind of stuff like that. Like, there's like that like weird spear. Like I said, like they were just trying to like, hey, no hold bars. We're going to throw these punches. We're going to try to do like, we're going to try to make like a fucking experience out of this. And then like the second, third one's like, hey, you want to watch some weird back alley porn with some mice? That's like, it's like, no.
No, I do not.
The hobos hit you with sticks while they do it. It's like, oh God. No. Like, so it's like a weird different thing. I think, and like, I think that's why too, like, especially on this time around, like I said, like obviously like more like the age stuff that age well, like stood out more as time, and like, and like there was, and like the shaky camera was real rough. And like at one point though, because if you notice, whenever like the monster was, it was always, when it was like opening its mouth and stuff, it was always kind of off angle. Well, there's one scene where they don't, and you can literally see a man's mouth in it. And like so I get it, like, you know, budget, whatever the reason being, like you know, there are new filmmakers or whatever. Like this, or I should say, this was like the biggest project they ever did. Like, okay, you know. Whatever, but like I think it's just like the spirit, and like you could tell the people that are in it were like no one felt like they were phoning it in, you know what I mean? Like people were like trying to have fun with it, and like that bartender guy, like he cracked me up throughout that whole movie too. Beer guy, that man deserves an Oscar.
Dude, a Friedlander.
Oh my God, the way he delivers those lines, like I laugh so hard. And then when he's They tell him, like, if you do this, I'll take you to the hospital myself. And he's doing those baby steps and the lighter's shaking. And then he's like, does anybody have any lip balm?
The fact that they gave him the Molotov and not any other capable human being in that bar was bizarre to me. But, and I know, like, whichever you might have brought up, but whoever said the thing about the heart attack too, I cracked up at that too.
Oh my
God. Literally said it out because I talked to the TV and whatever, and like I wasn't alone. But like it's just like I literally said out loud, "Is he having a fucking heart attack while this is happening?" And like it was just like part of that is like mildly realistic. He's an old man and he's like battling a monster, and it's just, and the fact that he was the only one, not the only one, but like. But jumping back to like their little descriptions, like if you read all their things, all of them had like a life expectancy, and his was the like tragic death in 70 minutes or not even tragic. It was something where it was like, I don't remember. It was a whatever death in 70 minutes. But like then some of them are just ambiguous. It's like, hope they live. Like, it's just like, and so the whole time I'm waiting for his death. I'm like, are we at 70 minutes yet? Because this man's got, this man's like gonna go soon.
Fun fact for you, him and grandma married in real life.
Oh, really?
Both died in the same year too.
Oh, that's sad.
The bartender is also the director's dad. So I guess that
Wow. That's kind of cute.
And Harley Mama is the director's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This colors things a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Things are coming into focus.
Yeah. But like they all, like you tell they all had fun with it. Because even scene when he's watching the throw up. And the maggots off beer guy, and he's like, "Is that the best water pressure you have?" He was like, "Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Just here, just let me spray it on you."
Oh my God, yeah, it's. I mean, it's got like I said, like dumb lines, and they just they're still fucking funny for like some reason. They just are. Like I don't know.
Well, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and even as I was watching this, I thought about this feels like the same kind of thing that Raimi and Campbell were doing in 81. Like it was a whatever they had in their wallet, we're going to make this movie work. The problem is this is a different kind of filmmaker trying to do that kind of thing. Like they've got the gore, they've got the effects, but then he tried to put dialogue in this movie. And both the writers, who I won't name, just needed to let off some steam, I guess. It's just this movie was doomed from the start, or this series of movies, I guess, was doomed from the start, separate from what Evil Dead was doing, because Evil Dead was never mean-spirited in what it was doing. This just wanted to be hateful.
There's a little bit of, there's some interesting choices in there. The owner of the bar, he's an interesting choice. And we haven't even talked about like
Boss Man.
He's just, his whole character, isn't it? But so, and so is like the actor you guys referenced, but like whatever. Was it Bozo? What did they call him? Bozo?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember all their like their dumb, except Jason Mewes is Jason. Who's Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I was so confused when they introduced the quote unquote relationship between Tuffy and Boss Man.
Yes.
That he got to live as long as he did. He needed to die quickly.
Yes. Agreed. It was a very interesting.
He's not the guy you hold on to.
No. He deserved right away, like the hero. Like, you know what I mean? Like he deserved the immediate, like, I also, this is so a non-point because that's not what this movie is about, but the daughter that we're all trying to get to, the hero and the heroine who both die for purposes of this movie, Eli, I don't give a shit if she's back in three, for purposes of this movie, die, have a child out there somewhere. Isn't she though? Don't they not say in the flashback she's with the grandparents? Like, why are we so concerned? Isn't she with her next guardians?
Yeah.
Like, why are we so concerned? And then we're going to believe that the grandparents are going to give her over to two strangers and three strangers.
Exactly.
When they show up at the doorstep and say, oh, your, let's just say, daughter and son-in-law died from monsters and we're here to take their child.
Here's their bloody locket to prove we're legit.
Don't be concerned at all by any of this.
I was like, what the fuck? Isn't the daughter safe? Like, she's out with like her grandparents' house.
Who's in the back seat? Oh, that's just our paralyzed friend. We didn't bring his wheelchair.
I think it got crushed, no?
Well, I mean, it got thrown to the side. Except for at one point, you watch somebody pick it up and chuck it at one of the monsters, which is also like an absurd thing. And then like when that thing falls on him, he goes, my legs. That made me laugh because it was just such an unnecessary lie. But it's just like,
oh my god.
And you have to wonder like how much of that was written and how much did they let them just
people just say
there was way more improv than it was written. There's no way.
Yeah.
Which is the tragedy of having Muse in it and not making him the inspirational speaker, because you can imagine
that's a great idea, Dave.
I just swapped those two characters, but to have Henry Rollins be Bozo. But then have Jason be the inspirational speaker, like his hair all greased back and everything, and him spouting on a bunch of aspirational BS. That would have been fantastic. And he would have eaten that scene up.
I mean, there are some things that could have been, done differently in this, shall we say. But
so I know Eli mentioned it, but have any of the rest of you watched any of the Project Greenlight stuff?
No.
Okay. I was just curious, what else, how did this movie win? I mean, nothing against this movie. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what was the process that this rose to the top?
If I remember correctly, I mean, it's been a long time, but like this, like the, even like the initial kind of like plot and like stuff they'd come up with during Project Greenlight, some of the other stuff was like weirdly complex and like, where like this was kind of like simple, and it just like throughout the whole process, these guys had a lot of fun. Where like the other, like there was always like drama and stuff, the other ones, if I remember correctly. And like this was kind of like the first season was real interesting because like they weren't really competing, but you were kind of like watching the process.
Yeah. But they were like being judged by Damon.
Right. Right. But then like once you get to like then after the first season, I think there was like three, maybe four seasons of this. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon really aren't involved as much in the other seasons, and like it feels more like a reality game show, almost like kind of like Mask Off or whatever, that like kind of like
Face Off
or Face Off, not Mask Off. Thank you, Face Off.
I love Face Off.
Yeah, but like Face Off was more interesting than what this was. I don't even think I finished the second season. So I was like, oh my god. But like this was like. I just remember like when they were doing this, like it was just fun. And then the other thing too, like it was kind of an un underdog because like they're doing horror and like
and
they're like I remember like one point they're like, well, you could just make this yourself, like you'll never get a lot of money for this anyways. And like, but they just kept having fun and like kept going. They like, I'll say this, like whatever the money they want, I can't remember how much the budget was, like I will say, like, you could tell they literally spent every dollar in this movie. Like,
oh yeah, they tried to do a ton with what they had.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them for that. And legit, and I agree with Jamie. I think you said this earlier. As far as design and original creature, pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think we can all agree that what they actually created was Wendigos, but that's pretty much the design and look that they came up with.
I mean, not as great
a Wendigo as in Antlers, but it's a Wendigo.
Honestly, it felt more like because like you see this sometimes when people talk about skinwalkers, like people that don't really understand what they are, that they're actually like shamans, like these evil like shamans. Like a lot of people think skinwalkers are monsters that just transform into animals and look weird. Like you see it now, like there's a popular trend on TikTok before it gets banned of like people being like seeing weird names, like I think it's a skinwalker, like I wonder what's a shape-shifted next. It's like that's not how that works. But and like you could tell like whoever kind of like they took inspiration, because like a lot of times like these shamans, like they reason like the animals kind of look weird is like when they're not shape-shifting into them, like they wear their like heads and like furs just draped on them, and that's why they kind of got that thing where like they look weird before they actually transform, you know. So like I think it was more a skinwalker, but I can see the Wendigo comparison, and I would argue better Wendigo than Antlers.
Wow.
How dare you?
Wow.
I said it.
The nerve.
Did we honestly, and someone correct me if I'm wrong here, but did we get anything about this monster beyond that they can have sex and pop out babies immediately? Like,
oh, did we?
What else did we get about it?
Please,
I mean, it's Wiener, and
that is actually the Dave's Critter Corner for this evening.
The Wiener?
Wait, the Wiener? What?
No, the Feast Beast.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So we're going to get all the dirt.
Oh, you did some. Oh, okay. But in this movie, do we get any lore?
Oh, no.
No.
Do we get anything behind? No. That's what. Okay. I'm excited to hear what Dave has to say. But
they're
like,
horny and hungry. That's
exactly
what we know about
them. Literally. And it's again goes back to being written from high school humor, because these monsters are just having sex and trying to eat and destroy, like eat these people. And that's in and of itself fucking hilarious. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason behind them besides that they just literally have sex, pop out babies, and try and eat these people.
Because that's another funny scene is when like they're like, oh my God, we killed its kid. Well, first off, just the absurdity of Henry Rollins having the baby posted on a stick and waving it out the window. But then like when they grab it and like they're like, hold
trust
on. And
the
she's
process.
Like, she's like, oh my God, it's a family. And then that thing fucking eats it. And they're like, oh my God. They're like, wait a minute. They're banging on the truck. And then like it just shits out another one. They're like, oh my God.
And she turns off her alarm. They set off the car alarm and she like beats it
grandma
up.
Was so like, good.
Grandma just sits there the whole time, just drinking, like nothing.
She has the best plan
besides the end. But like, I'm just saying, like, she is
that
like,
is the plan.
She literally just sits there while chaos.
Yeah, and I think at one point, hell's going down, and you just see her like peek out of the bathroom and then like shut the door.
Yeah. So we know nothing about these monsters besides the sex and the eating and destruction. Sex, eating, and destruction.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, I know. That's, I mean, I also like when they fucking like, you know, when they chop off the wiener and then they're basically, they're just like, well, now it can't reproduce anymore. Like that's the solution. So they're just like,
don't
worry.
That's the win.
Yeah. Don't worry. It can't have any more babies to run around.
No more little pumpkin heads to run at you.
Oh my God.
So, I'm sorry, but when the dick gets slammed in the door, it's fucking, it's also is, hilarious.
Like, yeah, I didn't know what it was because obviously it looks more like a tentacle than anything. And then he, this guy like just genuinely knows immediately that's its penis.
I'm like, the way what? He said it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's so excited about it.
And then how classic. Long it flops around on the floor. Oh, yeah. It's just like, fuck, we missed this movie for Year of the Wiener because none of us knew. I didn't remember that. Like, I was just like, and the kid in the wheelchair is trying to not roll over. And, he's just like,
and then, of course, the keys fall into it.
Yep.
They have to dig the keys out of it. Yep.
It's yeah, so like, dumb. It's like just so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it, Jamie. This is like a group of stoned fraternity guys sitting in a living room making a movie. Like this.
How did they win this contest again?
Because because Eli just said they probably were the most fun people in this contest. Yeah. And you want to see what batshit shit they're going to do. Now, like watching this movie and hearing Eli's brief, like whatever, like I would give them the money too. They were probably fucking funny and fun and like had, and they're telling you like, we're going to slam a wiener in a door. And you're just like, I got to see this shit on film. Like what?
And like the first one has like a little cult following. Like people really like the first one.
No, people do. People I know who have. I mean, it's not all the place, and I could be wrong, and she could yell at me. I'm pretty sure my sister likes this. Like people who I know who have watched it do like this movie. Like it's. I do know people who enjoy this besides the two of us.
But no one likes the second or third.
But it no. And the other reason I had put it on was because like I was pretty sure. I mean, I think we talked about, but that like. Dave and John didn't see it. And it's fun when there's a new I don't know. And then monster movies. We like monster movies here. It's right on brand.
Yeah. I only watched this because it was on Jamie's playlist. And I'll always have that memory.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you'll never watch it again.
Yeah. And like I said, the reason I won't watch it again is because I would only watch this with you guys.
It's like
I don't regret it at all, but this is the whole, this conversation is the reason I enjoyed the movie.
It's like, that's what it's for. Like I said, that's what this movie is for. It's like, it's for joking about. It's not even, I don't even want to say it's for having like an educated conversation about, because it's not. It's for just fucking joking about the ridiculousness.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to see these kind of scenes anywhere else.
I will say. I mean,
maybe a hatchet, Dave. Maybe a hatchet.
There was an aspect of this film, though. I did have a complete 180 turnaround on where I went from loving something absolutely hating it.
Tell us.
When this was like the trailers were coming out for this first one, they did a music video, this like ska rockabilly band. It's the song that opens the movie, like a knock a knock a knocking on your door. Like that song.
I don't even remember what opens. So it's not the credit scene. You thought it was the credit song.
Yeah, I know. It's the opening scene. And like the music video I watched, and like when this song came out, I loved it. I put it on my iPod. What was the first iteration? Like the little iPod button, it didn't have a screen.
Shuffle.
It's an iPod Shuffle. I had it, listened to it on the bus. Hey, we're knock, knock. And then like I watched the music video back in like the old days of YouTube all the time. When it was a little fuzzy still. And then like when I knew we were watching this, I was like, I've been digging because I couldn't remember the name of the song. And like I found it and I watched it. I was like, this song sucks ass. And now like I hate it. I hate the song.
Well, at least it's not the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know,
it's 20 years old.
That's true.
Yeah. You liked it 20 years ago. You were a different person then, Eli.
Yeah. I was in high school.
I die a little each time I say that, but this movie is 20 years old and it's still in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yep. That's disgusting.
You know, I'm curious where everybody watched it, because I watched it on Tubi and I just have to say their confidence in this movie, at least on my viewing, in terms of people watching it, must be rock bottom, because I was served one ad. I had one ad right in the middle, and the ad, you know what it was for? Was for the Jesus TV show that has three seasons on Fox America streaming network.
Wait, and you really got one ad? You have some different ad. Tubi? Because I had it every fucking 10 minutes or whatever.
One ad. And right there were like the
four ads every time.
Yeah.
Right? The fucking four 15 second ads and 30 second ads every time.
Well, maybe the Apple TV Tubi app is
maybe
bugged.
You have it. Or it's a different. Yeah,
and I would just say everybody's got Apple TV. Watch Tubi because there's hardly any ads on it.
I was not angry because like the ads weren't even placed well. I had one ad that dropped in the middle of the kidding scene. Like it literally, like it was like half in its mouth.
I didn't have it that bad, but
and then like it came back into the feet kicking in its mouth, and I was like, "What the shit?"
That's how you got that good shot of it, though. You got to.
That's true.
Got to enjoy it.
Oh man. So Dave, where'd you watch it?
I watched it on Prime.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you rent it?
No, you can go through Tubi
Prime. Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just went, I have a Tubi app apparently on my TV, which is either Samsung or it's Samsung, I think. So like
gotcha.
It was and that's where the exciting news, and I'm gonna say it here just because we've talked about it while recording, is that Piranha 3D is on there, Dave. So I finally fucking found Piranha 3D somewhere. And as soon as I saw it, guess what I watched? Piranha 3.
Now, does that mean it's available for purchase now? Did you
look? I don't know. You know what? I didn't even get that. I just got so fucking excited that it was finally streaming again that I put it on.
Well, but, to that point, and I got so excited in doing my research, and it's just so organic that you bring up Piranha 3D.
I think we always bring up Piranha 3D, but yeah.
You know who directed Double D, right?
This person?
This guy.
Which makes
perfect sense.
I did not like Double D.
Neither it's did I. It's same fucking guy, terrible.
And it's the same freaking voice, and it's the same attitude.
Well, something happened to him between the first Feast and Piranha Double D, because he had no soul in that movie.
Yeah, Piranha Double D, no I'm going to say, is even worse than
John Gulager, this guy. Wait,
did this guy do the other Feasts? Like, is there any continuity in Feast 1 and then
I'm
Feast 2
and 3? I'm pretty sure it was different writers.
Okay, so same thing with Piranha. Like,
yeah, because totally I think that's why, like, it took, like, because, like, and you can kind of tell.
He directed all three Feasts.
Oh, did he?
And then he did Piranha Double D. And then after that, he's done Zombie Night and Children of the Corn Runaway, which
that was
nobody
terrible.
Talks about.
I watched it.
Yeah.
And I regretted it.
And that was 2018. And he hasn't done anything since then except for a short about The Great Gatsby. So I think he's taking a break from
horror. No upcoming projects, Dave? Feast 4?
He has one upcoming. It says it's completed. It's called Seven Cemeteries. So I don't know.
Okay.
That sounds like the name of an anthology. Let me look here real quick. Oh, here's the synopsis for Seven Cemeteries. Coming out soon, probably direct to video or direct to streaming. A recent parolee, Danny Trejo.
Oh, wow.
It's a Mexican witch to resurrect his old posse so that he can help him save a woman's ranch from a ruthless drug lord.
Great concept.
Zombie Machete.
Actually, you know what, Jamie? It was the same writer for all three Feasts. So I don't know what happened between them.
Between
the first and the second one, but someone did them wrong.
They spent all the creative genius they had on the first one.
Yeah, they did.
Something happened. Like, oh my God, I'm looking at this and I could cry.
Yeah, I don't. It's fine. Let's.
So any other thoughts or opinions on Feast? We said our piece.
No. Yeah.
Are we all filled? Our appetites slaked?
Yes.
I'm satiated, Dave.
I think so.
Fantastic. Again, I don't regret at all watching this movie, Jamie, because I was looking forward to having this conversation with you guys. This is not a movie that will ever pass across my lips to anybody else. Unless they enter the inner circle, like I said. But I do have, and I spoiled it earlier, I do have a Dave's Critter Corner this week, and it is The Feast Beast, which is
excellent.
The only name this thing has anywhere that I could find it in research. I tried to think of an animal. I mean, there were parts of animals in this movie, but there was no animals in this movie other than the Feast Beast. But we got a good creature feature. We did the same thing with Clover from Cloverfield. We did a little beast research. So here's what I found out about a creature that was so obscure in this movie. Has two arms.
Ooh.
Has two legs.
Two.
Walks upright.
Nice.
Has three fingers on each hand. And
oh, only three?
Yeah, it's a three finger. Yeah, it's a classic monster hands. 26 long teeth for ripping out flesh.
Mm.
They have, and this is, I thought this was hilarious. You can go look this up on the movie's wiki.
Don't blame
Dave. They have humanoid genitalia.
What?
And can apparently mate with any species
to
create a hybrid. So they really can sex whatever they want to.
It really was all about sex, this movie. Like, literally.
I'm pretty sure that plays into the third one.
Why doesn't that surprise me? They have an incredibly fast metabolism, which makes them constantly starving carnivores. That's why they're so hungry. Their fast metabolism, which is, I guess, why they can have babies within seconds. They can fashion crude tools and weapons. They do create their own weapons and tools, apparently, in the second and third movie. They spew, and this is for my buddy John, they spew a rotting vomit substance
Excellent.
That quickly decomposes their victims like a spider does.
Perfect.
Oh, we saw that's that. What that was. Yeah, I was trying to figure out like what was going on there. Because
do they understand how maggots work?
No.
Like they do require flies to lay eggs before maggots show up. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, Gina, I think you are underestimating how quickly, how fast that happens.
Are you saying it happens within the moment that the vomit hits his face?
No, but it could happen on them or like in their stomach.
In them. That's what I was thinking. I thought they were in them. I thought when they threw up maggots. Like
just from somebody that knows little things about dead things.
Yeah.
Flies.
Push your glasses up and say actually before you start.
Flies can find something that is literally, they can sense the moment something's starting to decay, the moment of death. And they can lay eggs, I think, in like 13 minutes.
I'm pretty sure there was not even 30 seconds before the maggot.
You didn't see what it ate in its stomach.
Yeah, I thought it was in its stomach.
They were in its stomach. You could see it. You could see them hit him.
Either way, it was disgusting.
Why are we talking about the science of this?
Because
there is no science in this movie.
Zero science.
I will say, without getting too gross, that is one of the main reasons that people don't eat wild boar. There's a lot of wild boar hunting in this area because it's an invasive species. But apparently, from what I hear, I've never hunted wild boar. They are maggot infested, like living creatures with maggots living in their body. So, nighty night, folks.
That's so disgusting.
If you're in a Walking Dead situation and you catch a wild boar to eat, one of the ways they say you can get the maggots out of the flesh so you can eat it is by soaking it in Coke.
Interesting.
Before you cook the meat, because the Coke is so acidic that the maggots will leave the meat.
Coke also takes blood off the sidewalk. I drink it.
I learned that in the Rambo like Survivor series like special features on a Blu-ray years ago.
About the boar?
Because Rambo has to like, he's cooking a boar and you have to do it a certain way.
Yeah, or you will die. it's literally poison meat.
We're all learning today. So disgusting. We're learning.
That's what this podcast is for.
Exactly. And then the last fact I have about the Feast Beast is it can consume and then pass a human head in less than 4.5 seconds.
And then pass?
Apparently. So I don't know how these maggots are hanging out in there. It seems like it's a freeway system that they go up there.
You know what I realized about myself watching this movie? And it's a really dumb thing, is that of all the things that happened in this movie, the past movie, the movie before it, the grossest thing in this movie to me was when she ripped the guy's earring out of his ear.
Oh.
Like, those are the things I have problems with. It's like paper cuts and ripping like earrings out. And that happens.
Because you know how that feels.
Yeah, people cutting rip out like nose rings. Oh, and the webbing. Yeah. I will watch dismemberment all day long and things go up weird places and whatever. But it's like you pull an earring out of a fucking ear. And I'm out.
What about a nose? Like a ripping out of
that too. Nose? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. All those like piercings getting ripped out of you.
Yeah.
Not okay for some. It's just like a weird, you know.
Sure. But some monster gets his junk caught in the door. No, fine with that. let me tell you, that's not great.
Just monster junk.
No, that's humanoid.
We're wrapping this up, but I really do need Dave to one more time describe a scene where they kill a living human being by turning her into a bomb and feeding her. Yeah, she's screaming, "Help me!"
The window.
And she's saying, "Help me!" And then letting her get face fucked by it.
I don't know how else to say that. I don't know how else to describe. That's what happens.
That is literally what happens. And
I tried to be rude.
It's like, what's funny is as soon as we saw her in the movie, I said to myself, shit, I remember something happens with this woman. I could not remember. I knew it was sexual, but I could not remember. And then it happened. And I was like, oh,
there it is.
Just, to this woman.
And adds extra color that the director was married to that woman. Yeah. That's what he put her through.
Yeah. And it's nice. the adolescent child monster that's doing it. Of course.
That says a lot about
the one that also tried to fuck the deer head. That was on
exactly.
The
yep. And I laughed so hard.
Yeah. When he's doing it to the deer or the deer head.
To the deer head. Cause he like launches himself up there. And you're like, what the fuck's this thing gonna do? And it's like, hey, it's like the noise. You're like, oh my God.
Anyway, our dear audience, if you haven't watched this movie, we are not speaking out of turn. This is exactly what happens in this movie.
I would like to have the special feature on the Blu-ray being like the Matt Damon and Ben Affleck private screening, just to watch their face as they watch this.
You know what's funny? And I saw this in the trivia. In the original casting, the director asked for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to play Bozo and Hot Wheels. Yeah. Can you imagine?
They told him absolutely not.
Are you high?
Yeah.
You do know who we are, correct?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. They keep coming back to a Kevin Smith movie.
No, so. I was going to say Kevin Smith.
But that's also why Jason Mewes is in this. I just realized. Like, it just fucking clicked when we were talking about it. Why Jason Mewes is in this?
They're like, we won't touch this hot piece of trash.
But we know who will.
We got Jason Mewes for you.
Well, and to your point earlier, I think if you ask Jason Mewes now what his experience of being on Feast was, he would go, I was on Feast.
Yep.
What's Feast? Oh, the skin thing. Oh, that was a good day. He was there one day. Well, that's all we have here at the Wicked Wild on Feast. I want to thank my buddy Jamie for giving me the experience of a new movie that I would only want to watch with her and you guys. So no regrets at all. Eli, what are we following up this fine piece of cinema history?
Well, you know, Jamie and I had so much fun talking about swamp stuff. I think this time we're talking about desert stuff.
Nice.
Because this creature really ain't based on much. So I think we're going to talk about some obscure cryptids.
Wait, you just told us it was based on a skinwalker bit of Wendigo. Yeah.
I think they like kind of took it from there a little bit, but like that's not what they really were.
All right.
There's better things to do a skinwalker on. We've already done the Wendigo.
Okay. But
I think Jamie could attest that when we talked about the swamp stuff. They could have been monsters in this type of movie.
Some of the swamp monsters? Yeah.
Some of the fine desert ones, and we'll talk about desert stuff.
Those swamp monsters, I'm gonna search out some horror movies based.
There's two so we dumb. Found that we're trying to convince you guys to watch. We still haven't read it yet.
Nice.
So I feel like we're being set up and maybe ambushed.
If it helps, it's a Japanese movie, which I think it elevates it a little bit.
Yeah. Dave.
Dave.
Japanese horror.
And do you guys like Ninja Turtles? Because it's kind of like that.
If you like Japan and Ninja Turtles.
I don't know if I can trust you with this recommendation, Eli.
John, do you like Ninja Turtles?
I would strongly choose to refrain from answering that question because I don't want you to ruin that for me too.
What if I told you there's a creature that looks exactly like a Ninja Turtle, but three feet shorter.
Well, okay.
But they do have hair.
Oh, yep. You're ruining it.
But they like to do things like look under ladies' dresses, tickle their feet, kidnap children and eat them. Love a good cucumber.
Hard left. Love a good cucumber.
Love a good cucumber.
Is that a code for something?
Nope. It's legit a cucumber.
Yeah.
Is that a humanoid cucumber?
A humanoid cucumber, yeah.
Oh my God.
Who are these crazy people out there making this shit up?
I think you have one on the show. You have a best in breed example right here.
I think he just peddles everybody else's filth to us. I haven't heard an Eli original.
Sorry, you weren't on the Mudmouth episode.
That's true.
So I did create my own.
He did create the Mole King too. So let's
make the Mole King. I mean, I think that's a title he kind of took.
Because I created it?
I don't think you created the Mole. I've heard other people.
I created my version of Mole King.
Your version, I will say. The underwear, pants.
Well, of course I'm going to wear underwear and pants.
Plus hand turkey. Well, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening or watching on YouTube to our review of Feast. We appreciate you listening. Subscribe, rate the show, give us your comments. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have any recommendations, you can always send me an email at Wicked Wild. Or no, that's not my email. The email is podcast, podcast at thewickedwild.com. You can follow us on social media on X. At Wicked While We Are, on Slasher, which is the horror-only community, which has seemed to have got a second breath. I've gotten a lot of new people engaging us on that, which is fun. Also, at Wicked While We Are there. We're on Instagram, at Wicked While Pod, on YouTube, If you want to see our smiling faces while we go through this material, just search the Wicked Wild podcast and you'll find us there. We also have a website, thewickedwild.com. Not a ton going on there. I haven't put up a review. I've got like 3 books that I've read that I've got to write reviews for. So I apologize. The content there is kind of slow. If you want to contribute to the website, we're always game for that. Just let us know. Our buddy Joe Ferry asked me to put together a whole section for Regional Cinema Road Trip, and then I got 1 article out of him, so that's just sitting there. We'll see how that goes. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for watching. And Jamie, I just have 1 last question for you.
Yeah.
You know what kind of desert is never late for anything?
Oh my God.
No.
Quicksand.
Oh my God.
Just the worst.
That's the worst.